You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Desecrating a grave can be considered a hate crime in Canada, and racial slurs uttered in Peterborough, Ontario, can be reported to the police. Also, a woman driving with a niqab in France can be fined. All of this varied information can be found on the new Anti-Racist Resource Centre website, antiracism.ca. Joining us today to tell us more about antiracism.ca is Michael Ma. He's an instructor in the Department of Criminology at Kwantlen Polytechnic University. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Jane. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, where did the idea to create the Anti-Racism Resource Center website come from?
It basically came out of conversations I had with my board. I used to be the coordinator for the Community Race Relations Committee in Peterborough. And one of the things that we talked about was how to outreach, how to get our information out there to more community members. We have a physical space, but these days so many people access information via the web. So in a sense, it was a no-brainer to kind of replicate what we have in our office, but in the electronic world.
Now, I'm thinking there must be quite a lot of websites out there that deal with racism. Why the need for this one?
Yeah, I mean, we are, I think, fulfilling a certain need. There are some websites. For instance, there's the NARC website, which is the National Anti-Racism Council of Canada. But if you go to that site, I think the information is sort of aggregated in a kind of a confusing way, or not so user-friendly, I should say. So what we tried to do is we tried to create a website that would be very user-friendly. Originally, we thought we could create something just for kind of the Peterborough area, and then later with a focus on Ontario. But then we realized, actually, much of the information that we were creating was very, very usable and very applicable across Canada. And so then we took a kind of a more national and even global perspective. So if you go to our website, you'll see that we have sections called Racism 101, which kind of goes through all the different things that you might encounter when thinking about racism. We have a section about what are my rights. We have a section for employers and also for employees. So it's very useful in that sense. And then we also have a section for youth and for students who are perhaps working on a project for school. So what we tried to do is we tried to design a site that could be very user-friendly for different purposes, and that is what was lacking in the World Wide Web.
So what is it that makes a site like yours user-friendly? What are you aiming for when you have that in mind as a design?
Well, for instance, if I'm an employee and there's something happening in my workplace and I want to know about my rights, or what are the responsibilities of the employer, I could just go to that section called for employers, and then click on that. Or I can click on a section called What Are My Rights, and find out about the different things that I could do if I wanted to, say, improve my workplace, or what, as an employer, I can do in terms of implementing certain language within, say, my contract that I have with my employee or my collective agreement. So I think there's many tools that are available to many different users, and that user is quite different than, say, a student who's looking for some information on racism, you know, the night before they have to hand in an assignment. So, and if you come to our website, we make that information readily available, and so that was the main purpose to make things easily available.
So when you were in the design process, you were thinking specifically about very different groups of people who might come needing information.
Exactly, and that was actually quite a challenge, because you know, if I am an employee looking for information about the workplace, I might not be that interested in, you know, cool YouTube videos that are made by youth about anti-racism, but I might be much more interested in the Human Rights Code or specific labor issues related to, say, my sector of work. So we, in a sense, it was kind of a balancing act to make it sort of edgy and youthful, but at the same time, rather serious, if you will, and information-based.
Well, I took a look at the website, and I really enjoyed the, you have a graphic of hands at the top, and then when you're in that section, they hands up, like giving a high five, and then they turn around and point when you're actually on the page, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're quite proud of that. It's something so simple can also bring something to that kind of visual interface learning experience that you have of the information, so we're very proud of that.
Now, on the website, there's detailed information about what constitutes a hate crime. Mm-hmm. Why was that so important to include?
Well, I think it's also very misunderstood what a hate crime is. For instance, it's greatly misunderstood that there isn't actually a thing called hate crime. What there is hate, bias, motivation, sentencing. That's what we have in Canada. So there's no real crime called hate crime. You can be accused and found guilty of, say, assault, and then when it comes to sentencing, the judge can give you a stiffer sentence if indeed it was found that the assault was motivated by hate or bias. So there's a very good illustration how something very simple is probably, you know, generally misunderstood, but that we try to clear up, or we try to provide sort of extra information for people to be more knowledgeable about that issue. So that's I think important. So we provide information like that. Yeah.
Do you get into advocacy on the site for, you know, for example, what needs to change to increase awareness of hate crimes?
I mean, we don't have specific, if you will, forms or activities or actions that people can participate online, but rather we point people to organizations in their communities or different resources in their communities that they can work with in their communities. So in that sense, no, we don't have specific activities, but we also point back to our own websites. See, the Anti-Racism Resource Center is separate from the Race Relations Committee's website. So that's a resource center. It's dedicated to providing information and resources. But if you are interested in getting more involved in terms of being active, then we point you also to our website to be more active in the community in terms of activities and planning and community building.
Now, you mentioned in passing that you have a section with YouTube videos made by youth. What do you include in your section on youth activism?
There's a lot of youth-created media, often born of initiatives through high schools or through different kind of community grants. And so you have a lot of sort of first-person testimonials on those websites. You have sort of very creative kind of theatrical things where people are creating sort of learning situations that they're filming. There's also music videos. There's the whole spectrum of multimedia that students and youth are involved in that we feature in that section.
Has the website got many hits so far?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we started off small with probably a few hundred hits. We've just launched it in February, and then it really took off. Every week we would get a few hundred more hits, and I think we're up to probably... I think we've had about 10,000 visitors or so. It's hard to say. It's very hard to judge how many hits you have because it's the whole issue of unique visitors and page clicks and things like that. We've had many, many visitors. And I'd say the vast majority are Canadian users, about 90%. Only a small proportion, I would say, are specifically Ontario, or a portion is Ontario, but a vast majority of them are also users across Canada, and about 10% are American users, and then there's a smaller percentage of international users. So oddly enough, I guess when people Google anti-racism, they get our website. And so if you are in England, then you get it, you click on it, and that information is just as useful to someone in the UK as it is in someone in Canada. I mean, some of the laws are different in terms of the things we point to or the different resources, but certainly in terms of people's rights, in terms of human rights, in terms of racism 101, in terms of the terminology of rights, I think that's very universal.
Oh, that's good. Well, congratulations on those stats. That's excellent.
Oh, thank you.
And do you have plans to expand the website?
We do. I mean, anything that is this successful, I think we always think, what can we do in terms of a Web 2.0, you know, or whatever, 2.5 or whatever version. And that's in the works. Yeah, that's in the works. We always hope to grow it and make it even a more you know, engaging and important tool for people to use.
Well, thank you so much for telling us about it, Michael. So,
and if I can give a plug, you know, I'm an instructor at the Kwantlen Polytechnic University, and we also have a very innovative program there now. We have a new BA on social justice, and so many of the things that is dealt with on this website is the thing, are issues that we deal with in this new program at Kwantlen.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Michael Ma. He's an instructor in the Department of Criminology at Kwantlen Polytechnic University, and we've been speaking about the Anti-Racism Resource Center website. And if you want more information, you can go to antiracism.ca, and anti and racism are separated by a hyphen, so it's anti-racism.ca.